1 Kings chapter 19 is where we left off last week. We left off last week in a surprising, even you could use the word difficult place, place that we really never dreamed we would see in the life of Elijah, the man of God. Last week's lesson was entitled Elijah, Depressed and Suicidal. Depressed and Suicidal. This week's lesson will take us from chapter 19, verse number 5, all the way to verse number 18. I don't want to finish the chapter because I want to speak next week on what it is to surrender to the Lord, and I want to use Elisha as that. But I've entitled the lesson tonight, verses 5 to 18, Elijah Humbled and Restored. Last week he was depressed and suicidal. This week he's humbled and he's restored. If you remember the text, the context of where we are, chapter 18, he has finished that great battle with the prophets of Baal. In verse 21 and so on, we understand that when it comes to the end of that chapter, that God uses Elijah and the nation of Israel to cut down those false prophets. We understand at the end of chapter 18 that rain comes again on the earth after 3.5 years. And then Elijah begins to move himself to the entrance of Jezreel. We find that he actually runs this distance. When he gets to Jezreel, there is a note from Jezebel waiting for him. The Bible says that Jezebel, in verse number 2 of chapter 19, sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." So Jezebel was not happy that all her prophets had been slain. She was a vicious, vindictive woman. She was a very aggressive woman. She wore the pants in this relationship between her and Ahab. And she led Ahab in a worship of the false god Baal. And so she is vindictive here. Elijah has killed her people. And so now she promises that she's going to kill Elijah. And so when Elijah reads the message, verse number 3 of chapter 19 is just, it seems, and it, when you first read it, so misplaced and so out of context. And when he, that's Elijah, saw the message and saw what had happened, he arose and he went for his life. And he came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came and he sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. That's interesting. Those 450 plus prophets couldn't kill him, and now he's wanting to kill himself. And he said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life." So when you get to verse number 4, you find a depressed and suicidal Elijah. Now, we looked last week at the context of what had happened there. We know that there was a physical reason and a spiritual reason of how Elijah got to the place where he is. The physical reason, really and truthfully, was that he was physically exhausted. I cannot imagine the amount of energy and strength and concentration and fatigue that he was brought about on Mount Carmel as he did warfare up there. And then not only that, he runs that great distance before the chariot of Ahab. And so when he gets to Jezreel, he's physically exhausted. And in his physical exhaustion, his mind and his ego begin to take over. And we find that pride, he allowed a moment of pride to enter there. So when he gets to Jezreel, he's on this high and he's coming down a little bit, and there's this bad news or this perception of failure there, and the guy just explodes into this self-pity, low estate and hopeless, isolated, depressed, suicidal position. And we said that he evidences what the cause of that was at the end of verse number 4. Somewhere when he was exhausted, He got to the position where he began to think that he was better than his fathers. Matter of fact, he said that in verse number 4, "For I am not better than my fathers." It reminded me of a verse in the New Testament, Romans chapter 12, verse number 3. Paul says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." And so Elijah begins to think more of himself than he should. I don't believe that that was necessarily his intent. I don't believe that that was him in the early part of chapter 18, but he got to that point. And the door that got him to that point was physical exhaustion. And then he submitted himself into a spiritual position where pride just exalted him. And so now it didn't make sense to him. It didn't make sense how he could do this, and yet the response could be here. And he's got this expectation that he's better than everybody else. And then when his expectation doesn't get met, according to his pride, there's just this plummeting. And I have found that usually when I find somebody in the depths of just self-pity, in the depths of lowness of their life, it's usually a fall that happened from some failure in their expectation because of some premise of pride that we have been thinking about. Understand this: without God, we can do nothing. We are nothing. We think ourselves better than we are. And our flesh will always say to us, "You can have confidence in me." Your flesh will tell you, "Go ahead, you can trust me." But Paul said, "I'll put no confidence in my flesh," and there's nothing trustworthy about that. So Elijah finds himself physically exhausted. He finds himself depressed and suicidal. He finds himself now exposing that he has allowed this thought of pride to creep in there. And that's where we left off with him in verse number 4, thinking himself more highly than he ought. In verses 5 to 18, the Lord comes to him. And I love these verses, and I'm really going to take them verse by verse because there's just such application. The Bible says in verse number 5, "And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again." Couple of things I like about this. Number one, I'm glad that God doesn't answer all the prayers I've prayed to him all the time. I'm glad Elijah didn't, I guarantee Elijah's glad that God didn't hear his prayer to kill him. You ever said anything to God in a heated moment and then been glad that God didn't do what you asked him to do? Better be careful what you ask the Lord to do. I'm also glad that God never leaves us nor forsakes us. Here is Elijah, and he's depressed and suicidal, and he's hiding under this juniper tree. And he really and truthfully wants nothing to do with the Lord, but the Lord wants something to do with him. I'm glad the Lord is persistent. I'm glad the Lord is long-suffering. I'm glad that the Lord is patient. And I'm glad that the Lord understands our humanity. You know, sometimes you guys think, and I think, "Well, God, you just don't understand." But I got news for you. Because of Jesus Christ, absolutely God understands our humanity. He understands when you're tired. He understands when you're frustrated. He understands when you are in a position of some kind of human emotion or some kind of human direction there. The Bible says that he's a high priest who's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And God knew what Elijah needed. And Elijah needed two things. He needed to sleep, and he needed to eat. And so God let him sleep, and God let him eat. And he needed those things for his physical health. So let me just make some application. If Elijah needed sleep and to eat, it would go, and John said he's a man of like passions like as us, then you and I need physical rest and nourishment. And it's important that that we take care of our physical body and that our mind has rest. Because our physical body can either encourage or discourage our relationship with the Lord. What do you mean? You can be so tired you don't want to read or pray. If you look at your Bible laying on your shelf and your desk and you think, I'm just too tired to read, you have a problem. And the problem's not your Bible. If the thought of getting out of bed just and spending some time with the Lord just so heavy to you that you can't even roll over and do it, you're working too much or you're playing too much. Most of us don't work too much, we play too much. I know, I didn't like that one either. And so you need to understand, nourishment, you need food. You need to eat. You need to take care of yourself. You need to eat properly. You need to eat food that enables you to be healthy. You need to be careful about gluttony. You need to be careful about eating too much. You need to, your body needs certain things. And we push our bodies in a sinful way, and it neglects our ability to walk with the Lord. Pastor, it's not so much my body, I can't stop my mind. I can't shut my mind down. Well, your mind needs rest. Sometimes you need to fast even in your mind. How would I do that? You need to stop the information flow to you. You don't need to sit down and just open up your mind and think about nothing. A kid asked me a question this week. What's it mean to meditate? The last thing you ever want to do is just sit down somewhere, close your eyes, and think about nothing. I promise you, you'll think about evil real quick. Because the devil will come in there and he will do what he... Don't do that. But you need to get a rest to your mind. Pastor, I can't help but think about a certain situation that dominates me. Cast all your care upon the Lord. God knew that Elijah needed to rest and he knew that he needed to eat. It's one thing to eat and be full. It's another thing to eat and be sick. You ever eat a meal and feel disgusting after you eat a meal? Sometimes I eat something and I literally just feel, wah! And I think, I probably shouldn't have done that. If you need to be careful. Are you listening to me? Amen or amen? Okay, so be careful about that. God knew Elijah needed to eat, needed to sleep. And so he laid him down. Look at verse number 6. After he ate and he laid him down again, verse number 7. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat. So for you self-righteous people out there, God's not against seconds. He wakes him up twice, wakes him up, lets him go back to sleep, makes him eat again. Now look at verse number 7. He tells him why he's doing this. Because the journey is too great for you, Elijah. Now God's going to teach Elijah a very specific lesson in just a moment, but he's communicating something to him. The reason Elijah is depressed and suicidal is because he got caught up in his own greatness. And he thought, well, I'm greater than my father, so this shouldn't be happening to me. Now God comes to him after he has rested and after he has eaten, and God says, I got news for you. What I'm getting ready to ask you to do is greater than your ability. You're going to need me and you're going to need my nourishment if you're going to carry out what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to do something that's greater than you can do. And by the way, that's true about all of us. We think that we're capable of great things. We think that we're up to the challenge. We think that we're trustworthy and faithful. The reality is that without God, we can do nothing. The reality is that it is too great for us to have a victorious spiritual life. It is too great for me to know victory over sin. It is too great for me to be faithful. It is too great for me to do these things. And I kind of think like I'm able to manufacture and drive my own spiritual walk. I'm able to accomplish this. But real and truthfully, you will never know peace and joy and victory until you realize that I can do all things through Christ. So Elijah, I'm getting ready to send you, buddy, but it's greater than you can do. And so Elijah then needed the nourishment and the provision that God gave. Now look at what God's provision does. Look at verse number 8. And he arose, and he ate, and he drank, and he went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights. So he eats those two meals, and those two meals carry him 40 days and 40 nights. Let me tell you something. There's power in the nourishment of our God. And we're so weak. We are so weak. We are so prone to quit. We are so prone to frustration. We are so prone to failure. We think we can do all of this, and we start out with blazes of glory in our own ability, and it's not long after that we just run out of steam. And so God's got him in a position here. Now, look at verse number 9. And he, that's Elijah, came thither. He's 40 nights and 40 days. He makes his way to Mount Horeb, the Mount of God, in verse 8. And when he gets there, he goes into a cave. And he lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, why are you here? Why are you here, Elijah? You know, Elijah still hasn't learned his lesson. Elijah is still wallowing in self-pity. Look at his answer in verse number 10. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. He's given God a sad song. And that verse number 10 is all Elijah can see. It's all he can think about. It's driving his very existence. So he eats this food, and he's nourished by God, and the guy's walked 40 days and 40 nights and hadn't even eaten a meal. And he gets over here, and the first thing he does is he goes and he hides in a cave. And God comes to him and says, well, what are you doing here? Why are you hiding in a cave? I'll ask you that question. Where are you tonight? Are you hiding in a cave spiritually? When you talk to God, is it all complaint? Is it all you let me down? Is it all, I tried this and it didn't work? I love it when people tell me, I tried what the Bible said, but it didn't work. I tried spanking, but it didn't work with my kid. Then you didn't do it right. I tried to give, but it just didn't work. I tried what God said, but it didn't work. So are you telling me that God was wrong or you were wrong? Normally that conversation ends right there. I get the point. Why are you here, Elijah? And then Elijah gives him his sad song, where he is. And look at verse number 11. And he said, this is God, go forth. Now look down, if you would, at verse number 15. And the Lord said unto him, go return. Circle go forth in verse number 11. And circle go return in verse number 15. Now I need you. I got one point in this whole message I'm driving at, but I need you to stay with me mentally. You have to be able to understand the context. Depressed and suicidal. Passes out under the juniper tree hoping God kills him. God comes in his tenderness and wakes him up, feeds him, puts him back to sleep, feeds him again. Elijah, I got a journey for you to go. I want you to go here. Elijah gets up, 40 days and 40 nights he walks, but all he can think about is, God, you let me down. God, you failed. God, I'm the only one alive. God, this thing didn't work out the way you said it was going to work out. And instead of going where he was supposed to go, he goes now and he hides himself in a cave. Normally, people that blame hide. And so Elijah's blaming God, and so he hides in there. And now God comes and says, What are you doing in there? Elijah, come here a minute. You ever have to do that to your kid? You ever had your kid do something so horribly wrong that you don't even really want to punish them? You feel like you got to teach them. You ever had to tell your kid, come here a minute. Let dad explain something to you. This is the problem with your mother. No, you don't do that. Come here a minute. Let me teach you something. So God says, Elijah, come here, buddy. Go stand out there. Pick up, if you would, in verse number 11. And he said, go forth, stand upon that mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. Pretty strong wind. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, say those four words with me, please. Still small voice. And God's teaching Elijah something. Elijah, come here. Look out there. Destroys everything. Breaks the rocks. Loud. You know, windstorms are loud. Earthquake comes by. You were in an earthquake, Brother Neely. It was loud, wasn't it? It was very loud. They were in Haiti. He talked about how when the earthquake happened, the ground undulated underneath them. Loud. You ever heard a roaring fire? It's loud. All of this loud events pass by. And then all of a sudden, there's just dead quiet. Still. You ever go out in the eye of the storm, of the hurricane? They tell you not to do that. You should have listened. But I was out there myself. And I remember when Wilma went by, she came in one way, and then you had the eye, and then when the second part came by, it blew the other way. But I remember walking out in the eye of that storm, and it was just still. And then all of a sudden you could begin to feel that breeze. And then it came. And then here come those bands again. And Elijah's standing there. And all of this comes in front of him. And then there's just dead calm. And then Elijah hears a voice. The Bible says in verse number 13. And it was so when Elijah heard it, the voice, that he wrapped his face in his mantle, and he went out and he stood in the entering of the cave. So somehow he didn't get to the point, to the front, but he saw that stuff go by. And then when he hears the voice of God, he's humbled, he's broken, and he literally takes his mantle and he puts it over his face in shame. And he walks out to the front of the cave. And God responds to him again. So what happened, Pastor? What was God trying to teach him? Here's what had happened to Elijah. Elijah had let his life get loud because of pride. You know, pride will take your life loud. Pride develops in our heart, and it develops in our mind. And our thoughts begin to scream at us. God's not fair. Life's not fair. This shouldn't have happened. They should have promoted you. They shouldn't have done that to you. That was a stab in the back. And it's pretty soon that life just gets loud and loud and dominating and all you can think about. And that's the direction. And Elijah had been used to nothing but loud. He'd called down fire, but after that, he's wailing, he's weeping. And God is showing him that the loudness of his life that's going through, but God's not in that loudness. I have found that pride not only will make my life loud, but then it will plummet my life low. And it's like it just rages on me. And my fuse is short and my self-pity is just everywhere. And everything is just loud and about me. And that's where Elijah was living. But God wasn't there. And then God let all that loudness go by. And it got still and it got quiet. And Elijah began to hear. You know, the reason you might be here tonight and you say, Pastor, I don't hear the voice of God, is because your life is too loud. Your life is too loud. You ever be in a room with somebody who has to listen to the television so loud? Everything has to be cranked up. Everything has to be loud. I can't stand quiet. Turn some music on in here. Life just gets real loud. But God's people, we kind of live life real loud. But our God doesn't shout to get our attention. He comes in a still, small voice. And so you have Elijah, and God's teaching him. And when Elijah finally is still and he's quiet, he hears the voice of God. And what's God trying to teach Elijah? God's trying to teach Elijah, I'm not in the spectacular. You looked at what I did calling fire down, and you got kind of caught up in all the loudness of life and the spectacular, and you began to look at what I was doing through you. And when you began to see what I was doing through you, you let your guard down and you let pride come in. Well, I built that Sunday school class. Well, I'm the one that started that music group. Well, I'm the one who had that idea. Well, I'm the one who got this. They wouldn't even have that thing if I didn't start it. And Elijah kind of had this mentality that it was all about me. And he began to look at that. And so then when his ability failed, he was depressed. And God said, Elijah, I'm not in the events. If you want to know my presence and you want to know my power, it will always be tied to my voice. Now, look, if you would, at verse number 36 of chapter 18. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at, say those two words, class, thy word. See, there was a time in Elijah's life where he was commissioned, he was courageous, he was founded upon the Word of God. The Word of God led him. The Word of God was the foundation for the power of God. The Word of God was what sent him to Ahab. And he looked at Ahab and he said, the Lord God liveth and I stand in his presence. How did he know? Because he had heard the voice of God. And all of Elijah's movement and security and hope and trust was in the voice of God. Go forward. And he would go forward. And he would see the power of God. And he would know the presence of God. But Elijah began to listen to the voice of his own ego and his own pride. And he began to think himself better. And he stepped away from the quietness and the stillness of the voice of God. And he got scared out of his mind. He got depressed. He got into self-pity. He got horrible. And he began to think it was all about me. And my best isn't going to do it. And now I'm here. And this is ridiculous. And God, you failed me. And so on and so forth. But he had moved away from the tolerance of the voice of God. And by the way, the voice of God is the Word of God. Let me tell you something. You and I are nothing without the Word of God in our lives. And we think we don't need it. And we're looking at the loudness of our world and we're thinking, where are you, God? They're going to turn my light out. They're putting all this pressure on me. Everywhere I think, I can't take it anymore. And just kill me. End it all. But really and truthfully, we moved away from our mooring when we moved away from the voice of God. Let me go to Psalm 29 and show you something. You got to read Psalm 29. It's a powerful passage of Scripture. Verse number 1. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now pay attention. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is what, class? The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. The Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Sarion like young unicorns. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve and discovereth the forest. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. He gives strength and he gives blessing because and through his voice, which is the word of God. My dear Christian friend, we need God's word. Life is so loud and we're all looking for the spectacular. And God said, come here, Elijah. Stand up here, boy. You see that? I'm not there. You see that? I'm not in that. You see that? I'm not in that. You want my presence? You want my power? It's tied to my voice. How are you doing with the word of God in your life? Look at what God does after that. Look at Elijah's response. Verse number 13. Elijah goes and he stands in the entering of the cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him. And again, God asked him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And again, Elijah gives his response, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with a sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. This time, I think when Elijah made this request, I don't think it had the intensity of the first time. Look at verse number 15. And the Lord said unto him, go return. Return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. When thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abimaholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass, him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. And oh yeah, Elijah, I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. I love that verse. What does God do? He teaches Elijah, you've been looking at the wrong thing, and you've been thinking the wrong thing. My presence and my power is in my voice. They're tied together. It's the word of God. Now, son, go. Go do what I'm telling you to do. And Elijah, the Bible says, in that he went. And the Lord said, go and return. And that's what he did. Look at verse number 19. So he departed thence. He goes back to work. He gets right in his thinking. He gets refreshed. He gets renewed. He gets the new vision. He gets encouraged. Let me tell you something. When you get in God's word, you find out that our God is all powerful.
you find out that our God is victorious. You find out that there's nothing too hard for our God. You find out that that God has a plan and God is working things and He's preeminent and He's sovereign and He's all of these things. And when I come from that point of view of the voice of God and I follow that voice and I follow the leadership of that and I go secured, I go at peace, I go and do what God has called me to do. You don't read him worried about Jezebel killing him anymore. You don't read him worrying about dying anymore. He's got wonderful security. The application here is manifold. Number one, most of our insecurities are because we're not hearing the voice of God. And we don't hear the voice of God because our life is so loud. It's loud with what? It's loud with thoughts that have originated out of either frustration or failure because of an expectation we had that really wasn't an expectation that God gave me. It was an expectation that was set in my pride. And because you didn't meet this, now life is just screaming at me. And because I haven't heard the voice of God, I do one of two things. I either want you to kill me, or I just go over here and hide in some cave. I got news for you. As long as you are on the earth, God has a plan for your life. And some of you, some of God's people, they just get beat down with the volume of life that you've just crawled into a cave. And God has all of this ministry and all of this life and all of this work He wants you to do. But you're sitting over here hiding in this little cave thinking that there's no future. And I think God's coming to you tonight and God's saying, why are you here? What are you doing? Well, you know, God, I tried it your way and it didn't work. And God's looking at us and God says, come here a minute. Come here a minute. What's your problem? This, this, and this. God says, be quiet a minute and let me speak to you. And you will find that these are wonderful words of life. Sing them over again to me. Get out of the cave. Get a hold of the Word of God. And let God send you forth under His orders. And let there be wonderful security. And by the way, one thing that God did there in verse number 18 was God let Elijah know that God has a victorious plan. I've got 7,000 others, Elijah. He had the mindset that he was all by himself, all alone, carrying the weight of the world. Nobody else understood him. Nobody else had his difficulty. Nobody else had his problems. And just this Christian thing's just not going to work. And God said, I got 7,000 others. So I don't know where you're sitting at tonight, but you think you're the only one going through your problem? You think you're the only one that is carrying the flag for the Lord, and you're the only one that's beat down? God has His host. He has them everywhere. There are men and women that stand upon the Word of God, and you may not see them, but they're there. And God does a work individually. Your job is not to worry about the other brother. Your job is to worry about yourself. Yourself. And so maybe we need to lessen the noise of our life, humble ourselves, and be restored and hear the still, small voice of God. And God's people said, shall we pray?